And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merch. Merch, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Weird Laker week. It's gonna be a weird episode, honestly, just because it's gonna be even more sporadic than normal, I feel.
But, oh yeah.
But the always excited to talk every week about basketball in general. So
yeah, we spent already about an hour talking before we even pressed record. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. This week for the Lakers, they went 1-2.
They one and three since we last podcast. My bad. 2-2. We were 2-2 since we last podcast because we podcast the day of the Cavs game.
Okay, yeah, and they won. And Max looked really freaking good. Yeah. We'll end up talking about him. And then they got just polywalked by the 76ers. That was a disgusting game. They were down by like 15 or whatever in the second quarter, and I was like, I'm not putting myself through this. And just turned it off, and I think I already deleted it from the DVR.
I was very lucky that it was Monday, and it was also CM Monday Punk and Randy Orton were on Monday Night Raw, so I didn't have to worry about I didn't need to worry about the Lakers bringing down my mood. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna turn it off. If they come back, great. If not, it was not gonna happen. Cool. I'm watching CM Punk.
Which we didn't even get to talk about that before the pod.
I know.
We'll have to when we're done. Anyways, that Philly game was just, it was bad from the start.
Especially those fucking Paul Reed comments. Oh my god, it was.
Oh yeah. The thing is the Lakers started off really good. I think they were up by like 10 or 12.
The exact same thing against the Thunder.
I know. They were up 10 or 12, and then all of a sudden they lost by, what was it, like 44?
44. Yeah, it was the worst loss of LeBron James' career.
Just bad.
Also, I want to make a small comment. I think LeBron's after-the-game comments were blown way out of proportion. I think people were losing their mind because he said a lot is wrong. A lot was wrong. I don't think it's a trade everyone sort of thing.
Yeah. I honestly have been off of Twitter a lot.
You're a smart man.
Yeah. I mean, also it helps that it's partly because of my early morning schedule of going to the gym now, but now it's been like that for like 3+ years now, but anyways, I thankfully avoided all of that. I don't think that there's a ton to learn from that game, to be honest.
There wasn't a ton to learn from any of the games during the week.
No, for sure. Like
even the Detroit win, because Detroit is
they're bad.
I think calling them a G League team is kind of at the moment, because they have lost what, 15 straight at this point.
You know what? Actually, it's not kind. It makes G League teams feel bad. That's how, like, and
the South Bay Lakers right now could probably give them a run.
So I'm gonna obviously, as Merch said, we're gonna be rambling a lot, and we're sorry for that. But like, there's just a lot going on, but also not. Yeah. So like, the Pistons have an accumulation of talent that is just super interesting. Mm-hmm. Cade, former number one overall pick, Jaden Ivey, think he went top three. Five. Yeah. Or something like that. Maybe I think it was four. Jalen Duren, who ended up going top 10 as well. They've got Bojan, which I know he's hurt.
He just came back yesterday, I believe.
Okay. Sir Thompson, Killian Hayes.
Marcus Sasser.
It's not very good. Marcus Sasser shooting pretty well, obviously. They have a lot of talent. Alec Burks as well. Isaiah Stewart. I feel like I'm even missing someone, but like,
Wiseman, Bagley, Libbers.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent on that team. And I have said this for years and people didn't want to hear it. Monty Williams is a bad coach. He is a bad,
especially coach. For the rebuilding, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say before we started before we started recording, Merch had said he's not a coach that you want for a rebuilding team, and you don't want him for a championship team. You want him for that middle of the road team to get you from point A to point B, or essentially not point A.
You're the Mark Jackson.
Point B. You want, so rebuilding to Monty is point A to B, and then from Monty to the next coach is B to C, and then C to D is the actual, you know, winning era. Yeah. And I think that's totally right. I think Monty is an elite assistant coach. Like we said, if Monty was on the Lakers helping Darvin Ham, the team would be so much better. Which, by the way, Darvin, go give Terry Stotts a call, please, because the offense needs it, and I think, honestly, Darvin needs it as well. Not that I don't think Phil Handy and Chris Gents aren't good coaches, but I think there needs to be a former head coach on the staff to kind of help out things. I said that last week as well, and I might have said it the week before.
I think you've said it since he was hired, honestly.
Pretty much, yeah. So, like, I think that's something that needs to happen. But with, like, the Pistons, they're an accumulation of talents. They don't have a coach that's fit for them, even though he's being paid a god awful sum. It's insane.
When you look at him and you look at, like, what is it Isaiah or CJ Mosley is doing in Orlando, and what Will Hardy is doing with the Jazz. And I'm sure I'm missing like what Chris Finch is doing with the Timberwolves. Like, those are guys who were looked at as, like, rebuilding coaches, and two of them are two of the best teams in the league right now.
Yeah, with the Magic and the Timberwolves. Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. It is quite hysterical. But honestly,
yeah, I bet the Mavs are kicking themselves. They don't have Mosley over Kidd at this point.
I mean, not. I don't think Kidd has necessarily been a bad coach.
No, but I think there's very much a
good, he's not a good person, obviously. But
no, there's very much a ceiling to Jason Kidd's coaching, in my opinion. And I think you'd rather have someone like a Mosley, who I think has a much higher ceiling.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. As for the Pistons' actual game, yeah, there wasn't much to learn from there. It's just, other than I could definitely see the Lakers trying to pull some of those guys, maybe not this year, but next year. I mean, shoot.
Keep an eye on Jaden Ivey, man. Jaden Ivey
with Phil Handy would just do some dirty, dirty things to the league, in my opinion. Anyways, and then last night, was it last night? Two nights ago. They played the Thunder, and buddy. It was the start of the Sixers game again. They were up 14. It was like 37-23, and then all of a sudden by the end of the first quarter it was 37-30, and then by the end of at the end of the half it was like 70 something to like 60 something.
Stay is just out of the fucking world, dude. Like,
so I was watching some of that game, and I had said this at the end of the first half against the Cavaliers, of get Taurean Prince the fuck off of Donovan Mitchell. And then they put Max Christie on, and Max was really good. And now in my opinion, Shea is better than Donovan. I know that there's some people that would probably say no, but Shea is
bigger. He's a better shooter, you know.
I think he's just a better player all around. But like, I understand, like, you can't expect Max Christie to just completely shut him down. But Taurean Prince can't fucking guard, like, a pile of shit on the ground. It would cross him over. It's incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have entered the Taurean Prince section of the podcast.
I'm sorry. I'll try and keep it short today. I promise. It's just incredible how fucking bad at defenses he is. This is again why when we had Raj on, and I was trying to get Raj on, but he was busy, and how he keeps saying, like, he's a two. He's not a two because he can't guard twos. That's why I said that. He can't rebound, but he also can't defend. So I I think if they would have thrown Max at him more, and I think Max ended up getting into like some foul trouble. And Shea did do a couple, quote unquote, veteran moves. Max. But I mean, like, it wasn't like Taurean was doing any better or even this, even equal. He was just so bad. So
Shea might be the, he might be the smoothest player in the NBA. I think it's,
he is ridiculous.
He's just ridiculous. I like,
he's so good.
He is entering that like top like seven player range for me. Cause I'm like, how many players do you say for sure better than Shea? Like, Luka. Giannis, Luka, Jokic, KD?
No.
LeBron?
I probably have those two and maybe AD. KD, AD, and LeBron. And after that,
like,
I don't know. I can't, maybe Tatum? Maybe?
Tatum, yeah. I think Tatum, just because we've seen it in the playoffs, I think you
yeah. Him. Shea, I think Shea, a lot of the times, like, some people, I've heard him say that, like, he was injury-prone and he didn't finish out seasons. The fucking Thunder did that shit on
injury,
purpose.
Injury-prone. They were
sitting him out to tank and essentially just to kind of, in the long run, it's going to keep him young longer,
yeah.
You know? He wasn't having to put garbage miles on his wheels, you know. He is so good. It is incredible that Clippers trade.
Oh man, the stay by so, itself.
Stay, oh, yeah.
Let's take out every other piece of that trade.
Yeah.
Paul George for Shea by itself is a bad
first
trade.
Round picks or in swaps, like just
it's like yeah, something like that. It's like 5-7. And I think they've already gotten J Dub as one of the players from that trade. Who J Dub is a starter in this league. He's really fucking good, Jalen Williams.
Yeah. It was I'm trying to pull it up, but of course all the advertisers and dumb shit at the moment. For the love of God, fucking NBA.com. It says right here, it was for Shea, Danilo Gallinari, and 5 first round picks for just Paul George.
And like I said, I'm pretty sure Jalen Williams was one of those players who are part of that was one of those picks.
I'm pretty sure. One of my favorite things is on the internet. Or on Twitter or whatever, when it's, do you think the Clippers are still happy with that trade? And it's Paul George all by himself, and then Shea, Danilo, and then you have the 2022 first round pick. And I don't think it was the good Jalen at 12.
No, it was the good Jalen. The good Jalen was a lotto pick.
Yeah, but the Clippers first round pick would have been like in what the somewhere in the 20s or whatever. But then, yeah, they have the Clippers 2024 pick, the Clippers 2026 pick, the Miami 2021 pick. So that one has been used. That I don't know exactly who that was used on. But then the last year's, that was the Miami first round pick for 2023, lotto protected. And then right to swap picks last year, which they didn't do because the Thunder were worse than the Clippers, and then the 2025. So in total, 5 outright picks or 4 outright picks. It doesn't even look protected. 2022, 2024, 2026, and the Miami pick from 2021. It's just stupid. They still have 1, 2, 3 of those picks, and they have Shea for another like 4 years, and it's just.
And Chet, who's been amazing. Like,
yeah, I don't think Chet was. I think Chet was their actual pick.
No, yeah, their pick. But I'm just saying,
just from that trade alone, like, man.
Let me tell you what their pick situations are right now for the Thunder. It's turned into a Thunder's gushing, but like, there's nothing to talk about the Lakers team right now. But so this is what a Thunder's picks are looking like up until 2030. Okay. They have a top 4 protected pick from the Rockets this year. They have a top 10 protected pick this year from the Jazz. They have their own pick. They have the Clippers pick this year. That's all first round picks this upcoming draft.
Oh shit.
2025, their own pick. They have the They have pick swaps with the Rockets and the Clippers for a first round pick for next year. They have a top 14 protected first round pick from the Heat. They have a top 6 protected first round pick from the Sixers. Let's go 2026. They have a pick. They have two picks. The least favorable one of their pick goes to the Sixers. They have a top 4 protected pick from the Rockets. They have a, and then they have a first round pick from the Clippers. That's all up until 2026.
And then they have in between there, they have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 16 second round picks by the time it's 2030. They have a first round pick to Indiana. Indiana will receive the least favorable of the Oklahoma City pick, Houston pick. That one's a little complicated. I don't even know exactly what that one's for. And then they owe a 2024 pick to Houston and a 2025 second round pick to Houston. So they are receiving like 16 second round picks, like 10 first round picks, and they're quote unquote sending a first round pick out, which it's not really. It's just a bunch of nonsense, and then two second round picks. they have already a pretty solid team. They're the third seed in the West right now.
Yes.
And then add into that all of those different things. Like it's just and of course, like if you want to talk about their roster, you know, obviously Shea, Chet, Jalen Williams, both. There's Jalen Williams and Jalen Williams. Yeah. Poku, which it's hysterical that people still like him. He's not any good. Aaron Wiggins is shooting like 42% from three. Cason Wallace is really good. Technically, they have Kevin Porter Jr., but I think he's just salary. Which, by the way, I am far from excusing Kevin Porter Jr. Everyone knows my domestic violence stuff.
Yeah.
Beliefs. But the fact that he's not in the NBA, but Miles Bridges is just
that dude's gonna get a $150 million contract next year.
It's insane. They still have Trey Mann, who's solid. Kendrick Williams, Usman Dieng, who they just drafted as well. Lindy Waters had a good game against the Lakers, and he's a two-way player. Keontae Johnson, he's solid. I think he's also on a two-way. They have
I think they just got him from the Suns, or he was the Suns got him in the Nurkic trade, I believe, and gotcha. Then they cut him.
And then they also have Davis Bertans on there, Isaiah Joe. Like
Isaiah Joe has been shooting like insane.
Yeah, and then of course they have the pedophile in Josh Giddey. So I mean, like, it's
and the thing which, is,
How is he playing? How is he playing?
You can tell how good of a spot they're in that a top 6 pick that they got, he can legit vanish off the face of the planet and they'd be fine.
I know.
They'd be so fine.
It's so stupid.
They'd be beyond fine. Like
they are a team that they are so incredibly loaded to make some stupid deal. Like
whatever disgruntled superstar is next up, he should be an Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Essentially.
You might as well just write it in. Like, I don't know who it will be, but like, I don't, because like they could use like a
three or a true point guard.
Yeah. Or like give him an actual four or five. Like they have Chet, obviously, but then like give him a running mate in the front court, you know? Because I think Jalen Williams is really good at the three. A true point guard, but I don't know exactly who you want on that case, because you kind of want to score because they have. It's not like they need a defender. They have Lou Dortz who can defend pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
It's like there's so much ammo, it's just not even funny. And anyways, we'll end up talking about them later on. But back to the Lakers. I know we went down, like I said, it's gonna be a tangent episode. With the Lakers just playing like booty last week, 1-2. They do play the Rockets, who they beat the last time. I think, are they 1-2 against them this year or 2-1?
They're 1-1. They played them twice. This is their third game against them.
It's the Suns that they've played like three times already or something.
I think they've also played them twice, and they played the Sun. They played them coming up as well.
Who the hell is it that the Lakers played like three times already?
I think it was just hearing that we're going to be playing the Rockets again. I think you're probably just thinking of them.
Oh yeah. You're right. It was that we are playing the Rockets for the third time in like 3 weeks.
And then we're going to be playing the Suns for the third time as well. And then like we were, it's weird.
It's.
And then we'll probably play the Kings again for the third time, assuming that they move on. Yeah.
This is something that we still Lakers oriented. The end season tournament is a joke, and I know like it's brought more attention and everything, and you know like this is not me being old man yelling at the clouds this time, I promise. I saw an article that popped up on like CBS or something, and it had mentioned like the differences in how bad like the in-season tournament is, and I was like, okay, but it mentioned like the Lakers, and I was like, that's weird. The Lakers have been really good like in the in-season tournament, and like while they're up and down, they're 11-9. It's not like the Lakers from like 3 years or 2 years ago where they were just straight ass, you know, or even last year when they started 1-10 or whatever. But it was talking about how like the Lakers, who are, you know, at the time they were 11-8 or whatever, and they were going to have to play against the Suns, who are really good, and then after that they were going to have to play the Kings or the Pelicans. The Pelicans, who are both, you know, above 500. While you have a team like I don't remember exactly who the other team is, unfortunately. I want to say
the Pacers or something.
I
know the Pacers won their group.
I want to say it was the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on that. No. I'm sorry. It's the Knicks. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are 12-7, and they have not played they have played well in the in-season tournament, but rest of the teams that they're playing in their quote unquote in-season tournament division or whatever have not played well, so like they're going to be playing
with the Lakers. Their group has been horrible outside of the Suns.
but they have been, but it's then you have those two added games that we didn't know who they were going to be playing, right? So now we know the Lakers are going to be playing the Suns and either the Kings or the Pelicans, who all of them are over 500 or better, like quite a bit better, while like the Knicks are going to be playing like three teams that are all like well below 500. I'd have to look at the group.
It was pretty,
that kind of messes things up because like, the Lakers are not going to have liked playing those better teams compared to having easier games, you know? And you could say, well, for competitive balance and blah, blah, blah. But I guess I just found that pretty interesting and kind of a big hiccup when it comes to that. What's your opinion, I guess, on that?
I think because a lot of things are being seen through a Laker lens for us because the in-season tournament games have all been blowouts, essentially. Except for that one game against the Suns, Lakers have killed every other team that they played against. Mm-hmm. But if you look at other groups and stuff, there's actually been good games. There's actually been like weirdly the Nuggets are 2-2 in their group, so they didn't make it or anything.
Yeah, the Knicks have the Bucks, who are still pretty good.
Yeah,
the Heats, who have been not very good, but then they have the Wizards and the Hornets, who have been ass. Like, and then like I can't remember all the teams it was talking about, but it was just like they're playing far inferior teams in these in-season tournaments. You know, it's just kind of like a problem. I know it's drawing more, but I don't think it's honestly making.
Well, there have been really good games, and again, I don't know if it actually has been.
I think it's just that our eyes have been drawn to it because it's just been pushed forward, you know. And I would like to bet, even though I'm not a betting man, that if we went back and looked at these types of games in the middle of the week or whatever, they're probably just the same in seasons past. They just didn't get the same attention because not everyone was playing, like almost everyone was playing that fucking day. That's also part of it.
It might not even be that. It might just be a thing where like they're actually putting games on in the middle, like comparing it to like other seasons. There isn't like Kevin Durant and versus LeBron James sort of matchup.
Yeah.
In early season last year. But they're putting their best matchups on for this in-season tournament to make it look a lot bigger. I think it's at the end of the day, it's harmless, and it really doesn't change much as long as I don't really care to win that, like go to like Vegas and win that championship game. But yeah, it's money for other guys, but like at the end of the day, I'm here for one thing, and it's to watch Sixers win a championship. Mm-hmm. But it's fine. Like it's gonna stay. It's been a relative success just in terms of ratings and stuff. So I mean,
yeah,
it's fine. And like the Pacers are like the top of the group, and like every Pacers game is like an insane like 140 to 138 in regulation sort of game, because mm-hmm. the Pacers have no defense and they play like the fastest pace in the league. So like some of that is super cool, but like at the end of the day, it's not really hurting anything.
No, I agree with you on that. It was just kind of interesting.
Bringing it back to the Lakers for a sec, we should at least bring this up. It looks like everyone's healthy
coming into today against the Rockets. Other than Gabe Vincent. Let's go ahead and we can talk about that, and we can also loop in like Max and Taurean again. Rui Hachimura is back. Jackson Hayes is back. Vando is going to be making his season debut. And who's the last person I'm forgetting Rui. That was out? I think I said Rui first, didn't I?
Cam.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, pretty much everyone that was out against the Thunder is going to be back, except for Gabe Vincent. And I think it's going to start to clear some things up, especially when it comes time to minutes played. As long as everyone stays healthy, obviously. And real quick, I think with Vando, like, I know it's been really annoying. We've been saying, like, he'll be fine. I think they had the opportunity to sit him and let him get to maybe not 100%, but as close as possible without just like, you know, okay, this is going to take 2 to 3 more weeks just to get from like 95 to 100%, you know?
Yep.
So let's at least just try it out. I think that they had the opportunity to do that because Cam flourished, mm-hmm. you know? They had, even though I think he's been awful, Taurean Prince, he's at the very minimum serviceable. Max Christie, while he hasn't been shooting amazingly, has played really good defense, and mm-hmm. he's provided energy and some athleticism and speed, you know. Rui, they had, you know, he's had a minor knee issue before, and then obviously broke his nose, apparently. I still have no idea where the fuck that happened. And then Jackson Hayes, like, he's had a couple minor ailments this year. I think it was the second or third game he had already missed. I think it'll be interesting to see how things go with all three of those wings back. One, it should limit the amount of minutes Taurean Prince has.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think that's honestly one of the biggest things. I think the biggest thing is getting Cam Reddish and Vanderbilt on the floor together and let those two wreak havoc on defense.
I think that ultimately ends up being the starters, two, three. Yeah.
D'Lo, Cam, Vando, Braun, and AD.
Yeah, and I said in the past that I worry about spacing, but like at this point, how bad the Lakers are shooting, I would just lean heavy into defense.
Yeah, I mean, because like it, who else other than unless you're gonna play Rui, which I would be fine playing Rui, doing Vanderbilt and Rui, essentially swapping Braun from the four to the three, and then having Rui at the four, and
I don't love just, having Vander as the two.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm just thinking like essentially LeBron and D'Lo are going to be in theory the one and the two. You know.
Yeah, like, and I mean,
they're both going to be handling the ball shit done. So
yeah, really can defend threes.
So I'm just mainly thinking of that, and then just trying to getting another spacer on there.
I think Garvin's relatively locked in on having Rui come off the bench, honestly, because I think there have been opportunities this year for him to start, and he hasn't been given the opportunities. So
yeah,
I think it's a lot more likely that it's Cam and Vando. I don't know. If I had to guess today, I think Cam and Prince start, if I had to make a guess.
Yeah.
I know Cam didn't start last the game against Detroit. He came off the bench with Christie starting, but I don't think they'll bring Cam, Rui, and Vando off the bench. I don't see all three of them coming off the bench.
No, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
So I would expect it to be Cam and Taurean.
I also think this makes it, one, as I said, it limits Taurean's minutes, but it also limits, like, Cam's minutes in a good way. Not like we want him to be able to play more, but it allows him to continue to play and make sure like he doesn't go too heavy and fuck up that groin more.
And you can say the same about Vando.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll keep a minutes cap on him, and it won't be a true hindrance. The main thing is if Taurean Prince plays anywhere more than 24 minutes tonight, I swear to God. Like I've said pretty much every episode he's a 12 to 15 minute player for me, and this honestly provides the opportunity for that. It makes it so easy to do that to me. It's not even funny, because I mean I don't think that Max has shown any reason why he should ride the bench at all.
No, and I think, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen, just because even if Prince's minutes gets limited, Ham is being
a fucking schmuck.
And especially once Vincent comes back as well, I just find it hard to believe that all of them, like that Max gets any minutes at all, honestly, unfortunately. And I guess maybe in the long term, that's best for the Lakers in terms of money, but like, I don't know. We'll have to see how Vando and Cam and Rui all look together and stuff like that to really be super upset about it. But it's really, how many is Prince playing? How many is Gabe playing once he comes back? If they're both not playing a ton of minutes, and you know Max still isn't playing, then I'm fine, because that means Rui and Vando and Cam are the ones getting the minutes over those two. So we'll see, but it's. I'm just happy to finally have 95% of the team healthy and ready to go. That's all I care about at this point. Let's get some wins off, and let's just like find an identity. Because one night we're like an elite defensive team, and the next night we're doubling Joel Embiid off of Tyrese Maxey. I won't let that down. That will piss me off.
Yeah,
to no end. Doubling Embiid off of Tyrese Maxey, like, oh god. But still. Let's find a defensive identity. Let's make the top eight defensive team that I know this team can be. A top five defensive team that I know this team can be. Especially with AD being AD, and Vando and Christie and Rui and Cam. And hopefully this brings back the smart defender, Austin Reeves, that we know he can be. With those guys around, it gives us our athletic, like, backcourt defensively at least. Like, perimeter defense, it gives you that with Cam and Rui. Cam and Vando, and we've really been missing that. So I'm just excited to see how they look. The Rockets and the Suns are good, like, two challenges for them, especially the Suns. But seeing how Vando does on Booker and Durant, and the same with Reddish and Rui and AD and all of them. So I'm just happy that we're finally going to see this team as constructed. finally.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it as long as it's played the correct way.
Yes, I agree.
That is the one concern I have.
The biggest thing this does, it forces Darvin to not do his stupid Darvin stuff. Like, it forces him to. There's no way you can have Rui and Vanderbilt back and you're not going to play them after giving them both extensions, you know? So the hope is like when we traded for all those guys last year, and it removed Russell Westbrook from Darvinham. It removed, you know, Patrick Beverly from Darvinham. So that I'm hoping it's the same effect. Obviously, we're not getting rid of Prince right now, but like it's forcing Darvinham to not play him as much. Like, I'm like 95% sure of, at least. There's a 5% of me that's like Darvin's still gonna be dumb, but I'm hoping for all of our sake that he figures it out, because once again, I say this every podcast, you guys do not want the alternative.
Yeah. I understand, like, Darvin has been a headache. And I mean, as someone who has been mocking the shit out of the decision to play, you know, Taurean Prince so fucking much. The alternate of being Glenn Rivers, and no, I will not call him by his stupid ass fucking nickname, Glenn Rivers. That you are turning yourself into Lob City Clippers, essentially, that and with your winning less.
Mm-hmm.
Because Doc is an even worse coach. Glenn is not a worse coach, or is now a worse coach. He showed in Philly he is a bad coach still.
Yep.
And one, another one that worries the shit out of me, he's been brought back on fucking Spectrum.
Okay, I think that's much. There's no way they do Byron again. There's no chance that happens.
You want to bet?
I'm willing to bet everything.
I know Glenn would be their first option. I'm not denying that.
I'd rather Mark Jackson than Byron
Scott. No, I'm right there with you.
But no, there's no chance. There's no chance. Magic isn't there. There's no chance of having the bus is having more power.
Magic isn't there, yet he still provides a lot of input to Genie.
With the buses being having more power, I find it extremely
I sure would hope so. But like, also the wild card of Pelinka, and you never know what he's going to do, and blah blah blah. Like, no, I would not pass them.
You know who I truly want, and I know that this fan base hates him right now, and he would be better than Darvin. It's Tyronn Lue.
Oh yeah, he would be.
I want Tyronn Lue, man, I think they trade him. I think they fire him if they're like a 70 or something. Seriously, I would much rather have Tyronn Lue than Darvin.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of a Darvin apologist, but I would much rather have Tyronn Lue. And I think Clippers fans are really taking for granted how good of a coach Tyronn Lue is.
Oh, the general Clippers fans, yes, and especially the Russ stands, yes, because if you are not, you know, we like to make fun of, but like, there are some smart Clippers fans, you know, but the general Clippers fans that we see on Twitter, like, they're thinking that like Tyronn is a bad coach. It just shows like their complete and utter ineptitude.
I still think he is at worst a top 10 coach, at best a top 3 coach. Like,
yeah, no, I know.
I've seen what he does. He can run an offense. He has incredible offenses,
and that is why I still say like the Lakers, like Darvin should have Terry Stotts right there.
Yeah, but I mean,
he should be on the staff. Like,
Tyronn is the perfect one, because not only is he a coach that I respect, at least, and he's not like a but he's even though he's not like a Spoelstra, he has the Lakers connection, he has the LeBron connection, he has the clutch connection.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom. Like, it's pretty much everything that Jeannie Buss wants. A former Laker champion, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he should have been the coach. when Vogel was hired. I don't know. Again, we'll never know why. He should have been the coach.
We know why.
He didn't want him.
He wanted a certain amount of years, and they didn't give it to him. They wanted to make it like 3, and he wanted 5.
As much as I respect what Vogel did for that championship team, Luke could have done the same thing.
Yeah,
if not better, because the offense would have been better. Maybe the defense slightly worse, but the offense would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been coached from the beginning. We never should have gotten to the point where it ended up being Darvin. It should have just been Tyronn Lue this whole time.
Yep, I agree.
If he's gonna get fired, that's your guy. Especially if the Lakers underperform the rest of this season.
You at the very minimum, you get him onto the bench at the minimum, and just be like, hey, you're first in line if something happens.
Another team would hire he. I know another team would try to hire him before
he goes to the Lakers. I'm sure, but also he'd be able to still collect all that money.
There's no limit to assistant coaching. There's no salary cap for assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. You can pay them whatever the fuck they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think Darvin would sign off on it. He'd be like, no, you're basically just grooming him to be the replacement.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's Tyronn. I know a lot of people don't like Tyronn Lue for whatever reason. He's the best possible option. Because outside of Spoelstra and Mike Malone, who can you for sure say is better than Tyronn Lue? Like, seriously.
Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think of anyone else that could possibly.
Mike Malone. That's another guy.
Yeah. I think behind, you know, Ty Lue would have been like a guy like Ime Udoka.
But when you look at the top teams in the league, it's like not great coaches. I mean, like the Celtics, Mazzulla is not a good coach, and he's also they got rid of a horny dude to just get a guy who has actually assaulted someone. But that's besides the point. If you look at the Bucks, they just got Adrian Griffin. I think a lot of people talk about how down they are in Griffin, even though it's only been like whatever 20 games.
It's been really interesting to see like high level people, not just like our buddies that like to shit on people.
Yeah.
When Adrian Griffin has been one of the rumored top candidates for jobs for years and just never got it, and we were always what in the world?
Who is that coach that was always with the Blazers? Who's always brought up as a guy? I forget his name, but. There's guys like that who are constantly brought up as assistants and they never get hired. Nick Nurse is an actual good coach. I will give the Sixers that. Nick Nurse is a legit good coach. Another guy where he's a guy that I would much rather have than Darvin as well.
Yeah.
That's another guy who I'm like, I do not understand why the Raptors fans like shit on him so much. I know him and Scotty and him and OG didn't have great relationships, but man, the Raptors fans hated Nick Nurse, and I truly do not understand.
Raptors fans never got it through their head that they, after they won that championship because of Kawhi, that they were no longer actually title contenders. They thought that they were title contenders. That's also part of the thing. Like, you're not.
No,
you're not.
Nick Nurse got him a top like 3 seed without Kawhi. I think they made it to like the East Conference Finals or something.
Yep.
And they lost, but like.
Yeah, like you're not doing it. You're not doing that with many coaches.
I think Nick Nurse is in that same sort of level with Tyronn Lue. I think I'd have him in that sort of range. But like in the West, Vogel, I'm sorry, he's not a great coach. He's not a contender coach. He's not a top 10 coach in the league. Jason Kidd isn't a top 10 coach in the league, in my opinion. Mike Malone, like I said, he's probably right behind Spoelstra. I don't know with Kerr at this point, honestly.
The Warriors are an interesting team to talk about because that dynasty is about to come crashing down. The Lakers are kind of in the same spot with LeBron, right?
Yeah.
But like AD is 31, right? 30, 31.
Oh, no, no. When I said the Lakers, I mean, like, they finished the dynasty in the playoffs. That was it. That was the dynasty over.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, if Steph comes back and Klay plays well, and, you know, like, they could always have another insane run in them.
Yeah.
It's hard to just outright end in Steph. But, you know, without those three, like, Jordan Poole went from being a top option that championship team 2 years ago to now
probably the Wizards, funniest player in the league.
That Wizards team is fucking ass, and it's hysterical.
It's hilarious. It's a hilarious team.
It's such a bad team. Kyle Kuzma, to the Lakers fans that continued to want Kyle Kuzma, this is why I said you were fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. Just watch a random Wizards game. He has never changed. He just has the ball more. That's all. Which you don't want. Yeah, those two are just, they're absolutely pathetic. But, like, they didn't get anything for him. They probably could have traded Chris Paul for something.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors, but they're not. They don't seem like they're going to.
No. They're gonna go down with the ship.
I don't know. Like, Dre is almost done. Klay is almost done. Steph is 35. Like.
Like, he's still Steph, but, like, it can't just be Steph at this point. Like, mm-hmm. Even if it was, like, 29-year-old unanimous MVP Steph, it's not enough, you know?
Yeah, Moody is finally developing.
He's good. And even though Kurt doesn't want to play him for whatever the fucking reason, he does not play him.
Kuminga has not really developed any skills.
He's a second team guy. He's a second team guy for
me. He's so athletic and so, like, he's just a moldable ball of clay. And they're
the Warriors have just never been a good developmental team too.
Yeah,
after Steph and Klay and Dre, like that, the point that Kerr came to the team to now, and I'm not saying it's Kerr's fault, but like after they developed like Draymond and Steph and Klay, there have been no guys since then. Looney, who is really just who he's been, I think, from the beginning, a rebounding machine who can finish.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, because you could go back to like Festus Ezeli. Like he was the same guy that they drafted out of what was it, Vanderbilt, I think. They got guys that were undervalued and for whatever reason, and they just got them to be the best that they could be in their niches. Jordan Poole developed because his rookie year, man, I got all the jokes off because I knew a lot of people that liked him.
He developed really good. Too fast. Because I think then, it really fucked everything up.
He got his head way too big, and he thought he was good, and now that dude is rotting in Washington, who does not want him anymore, which that is, buddy. I mean, like, I know someone would say Gary Payton.
He's hurt, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm just meaning, like, Gary Payton is the same Gary Payton that he was with the Lakers. He's just getting the run.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
This is why I wanted him so bad for so long, and when people kept giving up on him, I'm like, you're fools, he is so valuable. And but it was because he couldn't shoot, you know, 40% from three in the corner. Like, people are like, no, he's ass. Like, oh, you're stupid, but whatever. But yeah, that they're going to be a conundrum.
Very quickly to the coaching thing, and then we can probably finish it off soon. But when you look at, like, around the league, like, a lot of the teams that are, like, there's, like, four or five coaches that we brought up already who are, like, solidified best coaches in the world, probably. Then there's a bunch of, like, guys who, like, no one really even heard of or thought about beforehand who are coaching the teams really well. Like, I don't know how to say his last name, but the coach of the Thunder. Guy that kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, mm-hmm. starts with a D, Mark something. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say his last name. Mosley, like we've talked about for the Magic. Chris Finch.
Dagnault.
Yeah, Dagnault, something like that. My God, where am I? Hardy on the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Chris Finch on the Timberwolves. I was just looking at the rest of the team right now.
Quinn Snyder, I would still.
Quinn Snyder, yeah, I was going to bring Snyder up. He's mm-hmm. probably in that sort of, like, a guy who, again, he was another guy who was available, Like, the Lakers just seem to not have coaching availabilities at the right times.
Right.
The guys, like, right. this last year and this offseason and, like, last offseason with Schneider and what's his face? Nick Nurse. Like, guys who would have been perfect. Quinn Snyder, the former Laker coach, and Nick Nurse has the clutch connection. And there was those rumors that the Lakers were trying to get him a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. But it's a bunch of, like, established guys. There's a bunch of mid, and then there's a bunch of, like, young coaches who are developing real. Even, like, a Taylor Jenkins, who I'm not the biggest fan of, just he's annoying. Taylor Jenkins, he's a good coach, I feel, though.
Yeah, I agree. JB Bickerstaff, I think, is a pretty good coach. Carlisle is still a really good coach that we have not mentioned at all.
Yeah. The Pacers are such a weird team because that does not feel like a Carlisle team. Mm-hmm. No defense at all, and, like, all the offense in the world.
I think he just had to realize, like, he had to switch it up. He had to fit the what worked with his teams.
Shout out to Tyrese Haliburton, man. That dude's a fucking monster. I think he's like the third player to average, like, 25, 10, and, like, 2+ steals.
If we were to talk about some bad head coaches, though, buddy, like, I don't think Mazzulla is a very good coach.
He's been carried hard by that roster, man.
Yeah, I don't think Jacques Vaughn is a very good coach.
Billy Donovan, not a good coach.
Yeah. Oh man, Thibodeau is mid at best. Billy Donovan is bad.
Yeah.
Monty Williams, I say, is still bad. Adrian Griffin, we're kind of out on at the moment. Steve Clifford, I don't think he's been a good coach for years.
Yeah.
Wes Unseld Jr. I don't even know where to begin with.
Bad things about him from Wizards fans. I think everyone's fans say that he's not a good
coach. Those are probably also the same ones that think that, like, Kuzma and Jordan Poole were worth it. So, like, it's hard to separate that. Malone's good.
Johnson Billups, fuck off.
Billups is bad.
He's bad, and he never should have been a head coach. Like,
never
should
have been a head coach. Never. You know, I think the best division is the Pacific Division.
Mike Brown has been really good. I will give Mike Brown credit.
He has been so good. Yeah, yeah, Vogel has won a championship. Darvin Ham. I don't think Ham is good right now, but I don't think he's as bad as a lot of Lakers fans want to make him out to be.
No,
he's not good.
People are trying to make him out to be a bottom five coach in the league.
Far from it. Steve Kerr is good.
Yep.
It's just also, like, he's dealt with stuff. That team is getting old.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue.
Who knows how long he's going to coach for, too.
I know.
Remember his back issues as well.
Exactly. Jason Kidd, he's fine. Uh-huh. I would probably say he's an above-average coach.
He's probably, like, what people think Mark Jackson is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, isn't a championship coach.
No.
But he's, like, that bridge between Mark Jackson to a contending coach. You know what I mean?
And then – Ime Udoka.
Udoka is very good.
Very good coach. He's just horny.
Another guy who was a free agent coach.
Yeah. Taylor Jenkins, like we said, he's annoying, but I think he's a solid coach. Willie Green seems like a bad coach, unfortunately.
Yeah, another coach I think is getting dragged by talent.
Yeah, and then Greg Popovich, I think.
Pop is pop. I mean, he's bad now, but.
Yeah, he's bad, but, like, historically a top five ever, three.
He's probably the best coach ever. If I had to
Phil Auerbach back in the day. Like,
he's that conversation, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Pat Riley somewhere in there as well.
I think you can make an argument that Spo might be in that top five as well. Top 10.
I'm down to do that for sure.
I know he's going only one two championship, but, like, look at the teams he's had, dude, and how
he's won two, but he's gone to six.
Yeah.
And he's taken two back, like, the last two Heat teams to go to the title, the one against the Lakers should have been swept.
Yeah.
They should have been swept.
It should have been Lakers Celtics. Like, let's go. It should have been Lakers Celtics in that final.
Yeah. That was it was just I mean, Spo is just so good. Was that before Ime was there? I can't remember in
In Boston,
I think that was Ime's first. No, I think that was Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens
last year. Yeah. And Stevens was a fine coach. He wasn't as
great. He's a much better GM. I'll say that. He's been really good with the moves he's made. I know you're not a big
one.
KP fan, but he did not give up much for KP. And he didn't give up much for Drew Holiday.
I don't think he gave up a decent amount for Drew. I think they gave up 2 picks and Time Lord and whatever. Like,
Brogdon, but he's.
I've never been a huge Brogdon guy.
No. And then I think he's drafted well as well with like Walsh and.
I
think Pritchard is solid as a bench guy, as a backup point guard and stuff.
Just extended him. I thought that was bad.
I think it was like $8 million or something. It wasn't a ton of money.
It was still too much money. It could have been $5 million a year, and it was too much money.
But that Heat team blows the team that made it last year out of the water.
But I mean, the Marcus Smart trade, I don't think was very good. I don't remember what they got for Marcus Smart, but like
that, I think it was just a first. But I do think Drew is better by a decent margin.
Yeah.
I know you gave up 2 picks for Drew and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. But
I'm not saying like Stevens is a bad GM. I just think
he's better than what Ainge ever was. I'll say that much. He's sitting on all of your assets, Danny Ainge.
Oh God. I think.
The most overrated GM in NBA
history. Oh God, yes.
He's seen as like a top 10, top 5 GM ever.
Oh yeah. Danny Ainge, I just laugh at Utah Jazz fans because like he's gonna do the same shit.
I always forget he's a GM there because I've said a bunch of times like they have a lot of assets, man. They can trade for someone, but
it's gonna be they could trade for this guy. He's retired now. They still have picks, but they never did anything with them.
He is a Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce trade merchant. He has been living off that trade for so long.
He
got lucky that Markelle Fultz got fucked up by the Sixers.
Honestly. Oh God, yeah, fucking Sixers.
Because it made that trade look like genius. But going back to the Heat, that Heat team that the Lakers played in the finals blows the team that made it to the finals this year in out of the water. It is so much of a better team.
Oh yeah.
And Spoelstra has dragged that team. He's kind of like a lot better version of like Mike Tomlin. Because you know how Tomlin always gets his teams to over 500?
Yeah.
But he's like a successful version of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know Tomlin's won two Super Bowls, but like...
Two Super Bowls. A sport that's so much harder, it seems to be, a title-winning team.
Right, but the Steelers are either they've won the Super Bowl or they're like a wild card team that loses in the first round. Like, you know,
this is true. I mean, right. Like, man, I need to look up Spoelstra's actual record.
And he's a guy who's gonna be coaching for another 15 years too, Spoelstra.
You think
he's only what, like early 50s? Or he's still pretty young.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, 53.
Yeah. That dude's gonna be coaching until he's 70.
Yeah, I mean he's really good.
Remember when people saying that the Heat should have fired him a couple times when back in the LeBron the
LeBron heater. LeBron wanted Pat and
LeBron wanted
that
Pat.
That was one of the best things Pat ever did, and then Pat fucked it up by immediately saying we can win without you. We made you a winner. We'll win without you. And then the Heat didn't do jack shit until
that's another thing. Pat Riley, he is a guy. He's washed at this point as a GM. That Heat team, they really really thought Damian Lillard was coming.
Yeah,
they put a lot of their eggs in that Dame basket, and
they did. They're
probably gonna end up with DeMar DeRozan.
Oh man, please, please,
And somehow Spoelstra is gonna get he's gonna get DeMar to score like 20 and 5 or something, like because Derek Spoelstra and he can work magic.
Yeah, man, that I'm looking. Oh, man. I didn't even realize Thomas Bryant was on the Miami Heat. Holy shit!
I thought of the perfect comparison for Heat.
They have Cole Spider on there too. That's fucking funny.
Yeah, he's a two way guy.
No, he's not. Their two way guys are R.J. Hampton, Jamal Kane, and Drew Smith.
Oh wow, I thought he was a two-way guy, but they must have made him a full-time roster guy. But I thought the perfect comparison for the Heat. You know how we always say Heat role players are never good outside of the Heat?
They're not.
The Heat, Miami Heat are the Syracuse of the NBA. They are the Syracuse.
Oh man, that is definitely an interesting one right there. By the way, Max Strus.
Hasn't he actually been good though?
He has been good. He's shooting better now with Cleveland than he did with the Heat last year. 2 years ago, 21-22, he shot 41% from three.
So
this year he's shooting 38%. But yeah, no. I won't say my comments of Vincent being the next Kendrick Nunn. This podcast, I'll save it for another podcast, even though I just started.
That's disrespectful to Gabe Vincent. Come on now. At least he's not a shithead.
Yeah, this is true. I'm just saying on the court.
Man.
Kendrick Nunn is in the Israeli league, I believe, or some shit like that.
Making game winners over there.
Oh my word. I dog.
Also
I remember the shit that people lost when they signed him because they thought he was gonna be so good. And I, regardless of how much of a shithead he is, the fact that one, he hardly ever played, and then he like only played what, like a game or two his first year, or no, he didn't play at all because of that quote unquote knee, whatever.
Bones, yeah.
And then his second year, it was just ass. Shocker.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
But honestly, this is gonna—it'll just turn into a tangent, even more of a tangent that we've been on. It's been a weird episode, but we might as well just cut it here before it gets 2 hours.
Yeah, that's it. We'll end it there. We're next week. We'll hopefully have Alan back. He had canceled the last moment because of some family stuff. Raj was busy, and then our buddy Nas was playing basketball. Which shout out to Nas. He had his birthday on, I think it was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then also friend of the podcast, Ben Rosales, his birthday was, I think, on Thursday, I believe.
So, this is probably the best week for those guys not to come on because, again, what the fuck were we going to talk about anyway? So next week will probably be a much more eventful.
Raj would be able to break shit down.
That's true.
But it would just be like.
It would be you going like, ugh. I don't.
Fuck Torian Prince the entire time. Anyways, that's it. We're done. Thank you all for listening. It was a ramble show, but that's fine. Thank you all.
Peace.
Bye.